Welcome to the Cutter's Notch Podcast, a program created by Michael DeCamp, the author of Abandon Hope, a Cutter's Notch novel. Recorded in the Cutter's Notch Studios, this podcast is focused on all things creative, with special forays into books and matters of faith. Join Michael as he catches up with an author, a songwriter, a painter, a comedian, or anyone working or supporting a creative endeavor. So turn up the volume, listen, and catch up on what's happening in Cutter's Notch.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Cutter's Notch podcast. I'm your host, Michael DeCamp, along with my co-host,
Angela DeCamp.
And we also have two guests with us today.
Little Klingons.
They're clinging on to our podcast.
They just were so jealous that they weren't on it normally.
That's interesting, considering you guys invited us to join this podcast.
You're looking at the wrong person.
Did you really want to speak in Klingon right now?
So we have Nancy, my wife Nancy.
My mom Nancy.
And we have Andrea, the younger of my two daughters.
The little gremlin troll that followed me all through her childhood.
Here I am.
So we're doing a family podcast today, and we're going to discuss a couple of different topics, but we're going to start off with our, what I had called the book of the week.
I've twisted your arm into letting me maybe expand it a little bit.
Yeah. My co-host is twisting. Ouch, it hurts, but we're going to go.
Say uncle.
We're going to expand this to, what's your expansion?
Oh man, I didn't come up with a title for it. I just, whatever. You normally do the book of the week or whatever, but I'm always reading the same book right now. So
that's why you don't want to do the book of the week,
because I think you're not finishing it. No, this whole podcast is about creativity and anyone pursuing a creative endeavor, as Bill would say. Sorry, Bill. So I feel like it should be about more than just only books. If you're only absorbing books, then go for it. Why not? But I feel like, what if you really were moved by some cool album that you listened to, or, saw some mural that you loved,
like, or a movie,
or even just like a TV series. Like, I feel like something that was made by a creative that you are enjoying. And I don't know what to call that, but I think that it opens up.
Let's call it the creative moment of the week.
Oh, okay.
We'll go with that for now.
Yeah, I like it.
All right. So
clever, I never would have thought of it.
The creative moment of the week.
Whoa.
All right. Well, my creative moment of the week is I finished Savannah's book finally, right after our last podcast. Mm-hmm. And my theories did hold true.
Which this is a big one, because the last time I was giving you such a hard time about it.
Yes. But it came to pass that my theory from the first book was proven true in the second book. So
good on you.
I don't know. I think she has a third one in the works, but I can't remember the name of that one. I think she's told me.
I just remember, Savannah,
if you're listening, let me know.
Yeah, I guess we'll see.
But I finished that book. But then I've read another book in between called The Whispering Room.
Ooh.
By Dean Koontz.
Oh.
And Dean Koontz is one of my all-time favorite authors. It was one of his stories that really got me going. And I don't read him as much as I did, but every once in a while I like to read a Dean Koontz book. And I was looking on Amazon, and I realized I had read the first of his Jane Hawkes series, and I hadn't read the second. So I got the second one, which mm-hmm. is The Whispering Room. The interesting thing about the Jane Hawkes series is Jane Hawkes is a young FBI agent. She's probably about your age, Andrea. So I won't say how old that is.
56 years old.
Yes, I'm 56.
Well, considering I'm 58, I don't think that's true. But at any rate, she's about your age, Andrea. She's an FBI agent. In the first book, her husband is like a Marine or a really high-powered military guy, but a hero, and he commits suicide. Ooh. But it turns out that Jane doesn't believe he committed suicide. She believes that he was forced into what happened. It's kind of a techno thriller.
Okay.
Because the concept is that there are these elites in the country who are extremely wealthy, extremely influential, and working and very wealthy in the tech industry. And they have created this nanotechnology.
That you're going to give away the whole book.
No, this is at the very beginning of the first book. And this nanotechnology basically takes over people's minds and makes them do things. And so then the whole thing is Jane Hawke is doing everything she can to uncover and track down the people responsible while they're trying to track her down and take her off the game board. So it's pretty intense. It's an exciting story. So I just finished the second one. Now I'm going to have to go on to the third one. But good series. If you like Dean Koontz, if you like techno thrillers, pick up the Jane Hawke series. And I can't remember what book one's called. I probably have it in here somewhere.
You got to start looking this stuff up before you record it.
Yeah. Okay. But anyway, that's, and now I've moved on to a third book. So I'm reading a Walt Longmire story.
Gotcha.
So Craig Johnson, way to go. Love Walt. So who's next? Who wants to go on to the next creative moment of the week?
I can jump on since I'm on here a lot, I guess. I this wouldn't necessarily be something I've consumed this week, but I think that by the time this podcast comes out, it would be a good time for people to consume it, which is on Netflix, the Haunting of Hill House series, but also they're coming out with a sequel, like a season two, which is, I think, The Haunting of Bly Manor. And it's going to come out, I think, early October. So if you're hearing this and it's sort of the spooky time of year and clearly we can't go out and do all of the fun, as many fun things as we had been doing pre-COVID, this is a really good series to watch like at home and have some popcorn and maybe some like beverages of any kind of thing that you would like, alcoholic or non-alcoholic. And it's pretty good. It's scary, but it's also kind of psychological, which is really good. Really well done.
You've mentioned that before, and I usually love really scary.
And I actually told you today that I think we should watch the first episode, but didn't.
The day
respond
is still young. The day is not over yet. I know. We could still do it. So let's go around the table. This would be.
Do any of our guests have something they want to share? Because you don't have to share anything if you don't have anything that you feel like contributing.
Shaking your head.
Nancy's saying no.
You actually have to actually use words.
They don't know that.
Bill knows. I don't have it. No, I can't say that in the last few weeks I've done anything creative.
Or okay. You haven't indulged in anything creative? Or you haven't watched anything creative?
No? She's got nothing she wants to share. It's not notable enough for her.
No, it's been just not creative. I mean, it's been okay. It's been a bit of a dud of a week,
I guess.
Yeah, it has.
Okay.
It was really challenging week in the creativity area.
Well, then let's try Andrea.
All right. So I kind of have two things. Is that okay? It's a book and a show.
Well, you can take your mother's.
Well, I figured you might talk about a movie you recently watched, but.
Oh, I don't know which one you're talking about.
Never mind.
Well, I'm currently reading a book called Hood Feminism, and I really like it. It's all about the ways that the classical feminist movement has forgotten those who are most at risk by certain policies and that kind of thing. And it's just very interesting. I'm really appreciating it.
I think that's probably a pretty important perspective to have.
Yeah. And, you know, I have immense privilege, and so I want to be able to be educated and understanding of the world around me. So there's that. It's a little heavier. And then the second season of the show Pen 15 came out this weekend.
It's on Hulu, right?
Yes. So
what is Pen 15?
Well, Dad, why don't you write it on your hand and see?
Pen 15 is a show that was created by these two, like in their 30s women. And it's all about being a seventh grader in the early 2000s,
which is basically us.
Yes. And so they are playing basically themselves as seventh graders.
And they like play the thing that I liked about this. So these women are like she said, they're in their 30s, but they're playing seventh graders and their co-stars are like actual seventh graders.
Yes,
like they're the only 30 year old women.
And it's super cringy, but it's also really heartwarming because you can really, when you watch it, you're like, Oh my gosh. I had these moments. Mm-hmm.
Middle school, as it really happened.
Yeah. Like that awkward, you kind of like this person, but you don't know, or weird best friend dynamics. And
like middle school just was cringy for I don't think I've ever talked to anybody who was like, I left middle school. It was the best. Because obviously I don't talk to the cheerleaders, but
it includes like episodes on AIM, which I spent so much time as a teenager.
I feel like we're in like a window of people who may not know, like older than us and younger than us that might not know what
so
that is.
So AIM was called AOL Instant Messenger, and it was just a way to talk to people via
chat.
It's like Facebook chat, but its own thing. And it's just, it's so creative and it's so funny, but also heartwarming. And I watched through the whole second season this weekend and I love it. My friend Nikki and I, we kind of bond over it because of our shared experience. So,
yeah, they have from middle school. They went on picture day and had a friend's picture together.
See, Andrea just, or maybe it was Nikki, one of the two of you just reposted that picture where it's the two of you in your school picture. Like, was that actually in the yearbook or was that just for fun?
No, there's still some upstairs in her.
But I don't understand how they would have gone sit for the school photo and they were in there together.
I don't know why.
Uh-huh. They did their individual school photos because your dad was like, I don't ever remember seeing this before.
I don't either.
Yes, I do.
I don't remember this at all.
I do. They had to have their pictures taken. She asked if she could do it because I had to pay for it.
Okay. And I just thought it was weird. It would have never even crossed my mind.
I completely forgot about this photo and we randomly found it like in 2018.
Such a loser.
And I was like, oh my gosh. And Nikki forgot that we did it too.
You guys
too.
Look like you didn't know the picture was about to be taken too. Like your faces were just sort of like
awkward.
Like the face that you make when you're watching TV and you don't realize what your face looks like. That's what your faces looked like.
Yes. I love it. I love it.
Anyway. All right, so
moving on from this awesome segment to the next one.
Well, I actually had something else I wanted to share, a creative moment, something else that we've done. But your mom and I last night, obviously this is...
I don't want to hear about it.
let's go there.
No, we don't need to do it. Anyway, go on.
Let's go there. We're a couple of days past the day Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And your mother and I watched the movie last night.
Yeah, Mom, what was that called?
What's it called, Nancy?
I don't remember.
She can't say it, right?
Do you want me to say it? Because I know it.
Please, Andrea.
She was reading. I know what it is, too. But she was using our...
She didn't know what it was called. She was trying to look it up.
She's using our Comcast remote and trying to speak it into the remote. And it's, what's the title?
It's called On the Basis of Sex.
That's
On
the real title. Yeah.
She searched for something like, something about sex, like, or a little bit of sex. It's like, I don't think this is what we really want to search for. So we watched On the Basis of Sex last night, which is the story of Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
It's a movie based on the life of right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's not the whole life. It's just the start of her
career. So I'm the only one at this table who has not yet seen it. I watched a documentary about her just the other day, but I haven't seen.
I have it at my house if you want to.
Well, apparently they bought it too. Everybody has it but me.
Yeah, we've got it. So it's it's in the public view. So Angela, I'm sure you could see it pretty soon since a couple of us own it. But I really thought it was well done. Mm. And I learned a lot about Ruth Bader Ginsburg that I did not know. Mm. Very, very incredibly powerful influence in our country over the last 40 years. And she started out, basically top of her class in Harvard, taking double classes because she's taking classes for her husband who was sick with cancer. And then taking her own classes and raising a child at the same time. And then finishes up at Columbia, she's top of her class all the way through.
And then nobody hires her.
And she can't get a law firm to hire her because
they don't hire women.
So crazy stuff. But I won't spoil it for you, Angela, but I really, really, really loved how they finished the movie.
The ending.
The very end of the movie. I loved it.
It was very creatively done.
I'm excited now. Yeah.
So that was great. So what have you all, what's the word I'm looking for? Binged watched.
Oh goodness.
During the pandemic.
There's a lot.
Everything.
Let's hear some of the things that you liked.
What We Do in the Shadows.
Either something you liked or something you hated, but something you binge watched. So, okay, talk about that one, Angela.
Yes, What We Do in the Shadows. So, and this is actually really timely too, because if you're listening to this now, it's fall. Woohoo. So, What We Do in the Shadows is, I know it's on Hulu. I think it's actually on FX too. I'm not really sure, but it's, basically a mockumentary about these vampire roommates that live on Staten Island. And it's hilarious. I just love it. I think I've talked about it all summer long. I don't have a whole lot else to add besides. It's just really good. If you've seen, there was a film back in a little bit later in the earlier in the 2000s, called What We Do in the Shadows. And it's basically kind of based off of that really successful movie mockumentary. But Jemaine Clement, who was Flight of the Conchords, he's like one of the producers, yeah. I should have looked that up. And I know that Taika Waititi also like was involved with that as well. So it's really, really hilarious. It's not scary, but it's all about vampires and it's really funny. So
cool.
That's one of many things I've binge watched.
How about you, Nancy?
I don't binge watch.
You've binge watched a few things. You've watched a few
series. You just go to the gym all the time.
I've watched some series. I know. That's all I do.
Well, just tell us about a series that you've watched during the pandemic. You don't have to sit down and watch them all right in a row, but.
Well, I finished up Versailles.
Oh, okay.
Which I like. That's on Netflix. I liked that. I like historical kind of
Versailles
or Versailles, Indiana,
France. It's like Louis and the building of Versailles and the beginning of the French Revolution and all of that. Okay. So
you do like historical, like period
like period kind of things. So I watched that. I've just started and I might've binge watched it, except that you've expressed there are a few shows that Mike and I like to watch the same.
The Last Kingdom is one that we watched.
We watched that one together, but there are very few that we are like, yeah, we'll sit down and watch this together. So I paused. And so slowly we've been watching Cobra Kai.
That was so good. I binge watched it too.
So we're really slow. We're only about to episode number 4 of season 1.
I think it's 4 or 5.
That's
not
because to find it. I know. That's why I say I don't binge watch. But to find a time, if there's a time we're going to sit down and watch something. So that's probably the latest thing.
You guys are the only couple here. Our family now.
Yes. Let's go there.
Yeah, you know, we're all living our lives. Do you ever like have a show that you guys watch together and you're like, no, we're gonna watch it together, but then secretly you can't wait and you go and watch an episode?
No.
Is that what keeps your marriage strong?
Yes. That's it.
The key. Writing this down
the
right
key
now.
To a successful marriage.
Yes. Don't watch shows that you're supposed to watch together ahead of time by yourself.
Okay.
That will ruin a marriage.
Rule number one. That's the vow that you give at the altar. I swear. Yeah. To not watch.
So that's the most recent thing that we've been watching. But again, it's not binging and it's maybe one or two episodes a week. Okay.
We all watched
but
Witcher.
But it is bingeable. Oh my gosh, Witcher. Oh my gosh, Henry.
Now that one I went ahead and watched without you. I didn't wait.
Yeah, well, we didn't make any agreement about watching that one either.
I liked The Witcher so much that I watched the making of it series that they came out with on Netflix.
I feel like I would like to go back and binge watch, like watch that one straight through. I feel like I would catch some more stuff the second time through.
Well, the nice thing about this little series is I thought it was like, oh, just like the behind the scenes making of it. But it's not just that. Like they go episode by episode and they give it like a little overview and the character building that they were trying to do and the timeline. So like if you are starting The Witcher, because there's some timeline confusion.
Yeah.
If you're not aware, I mean, I don't want to spoil anything
for a while,
but, if you are confused watching it, you can watch one of those little mini episodes on the making of The Witcher, because they're only like 4 to 6 minutes long each. They're really, really short. So,
good to know.
The Witcher, it was like the third or fourth episode before you start figuring out there's multiple timelines at play.
Well, don't give just let's, we can't, I guess I already gave it away.
I think it's good to know that you're watching coming into it. It would have been nice if I had known that I should be looking for multiple timelines.
I enjoyed figuring it out is where I'm coming from.
But I was so confused. I almost gave up after maybe the second
episode.
I guess
you just have to have more of a superior intellect.
Well, that must be it. Yeah. Which makes me wonder how you figured it out.
Oh, man. You got me.
Do you know there are 13, I've got 13 fictional languages pulled up.
Andrea.
Do you know how to say I love you in Groot?
Groot?
Yeah, the guy from the Guardians of the Galaxy. What?
Why is this even coming up? I don't get it. We had this nice flow, a whole segment.
Because you were jabbing each other, so I'm trying to remind you.
It was
you
in a funny way. We were fine.
I am Groot.
Oh,
that's how he says it. Yeah. You win.
Yeah. Hey. All right. So
Andrea.
Now that we've had that very important moment.
Interruption. Yeah.
How about you? Something you've binge watched or watched through this period?
She probably got a whole list.
I mean, I do, but I'm going to focus on
highlight a few.
Two that are connected. So I never watched Avatar: The Last Airbender as a kid.
You were gonna say that.
And it's like sequel series Legend of Korra. And I just kind of decided at one point, I'm going to try it out, whatever. And then I got hooked. I love it and I enjoy it. I created sim characters based off the main characters.
Where do you even play The Sims?
Is it just computer?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
There's games on there?
I didn't know you could play Sims on a computer.
You can download
custom content.
Paying for people's contacts on the black market over here.
But you can download custom content, like certain specific hairstyles and outfits to make your Sims look very specific. And so I did that and I have.
Oh my gosh. Are you telling me that you've made Sims off of Avatar?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm planning to do it based off Legend of Korra too.
I feel like I'm still learning another language.
It's.
Would you like another language?
No, goodness, no.
Avatar: The Last Airbender is a really cool story. It's got strong mythology that's linked to actual cultures, specifically Asian and indigenous cultures. And it's just a really cool story. It's animated, but I really enjoy it.
Yeah, I think that it says something that you got really into it because I actually tried to watch it. I was like, well, Andrea's doing it. I'll do it secretly. And so I tried to watch it, but I just couldn't get past the first couple episodes. But it sounds like if you commit and open your mind, maybe you can do that.
Yeah. At first it can be kind of, especially if you're watching it as an adult who's like never watched it before.
Yeah,
because it is a show for kids. But Legend of Korra is more adult. So if you can get through Avatar: The Last Airbender, which is really great on its own, you can watch Legend of Korra.
Well, now, I'll tell you the show that I want to highlight. I've watched several series between Netflix and Amazon Prime.
He's bragging that he has Amazon Prime.
Some of them I can't, but I don't have Hulu.
You're welcome.
So, thank you. Thank you, Mrs. DeCamp. So probably the one I like the best is Bosch. Have you heard of Bosch?
I think I've seen an ad for it. That's an Amazon one,
it's
right?
Amazon. And it's basically set in Hollywood, present day. It's a detective show. And I just really, really liked it. I think I've watched through four or five seasons now. And they came out with a new season at the beginning of April. And 2 weeks later, I'm done.
You're like, yay.
Now I've got to wait until next April for the final season. But if you like modern crime dramas,
it's a good one.
It's a good one. Good. It's a good show. You got to try to figure it out. They're mysteries. At the same time, there's some action and you really get attached to the characters. So I think it was really well done as far as a character development. So really, really like that one.
Good.
Okay. We're going to shift gears. Now that we've done that, let's talk about cool, fun fall ideas, considering the fact that we're still stuck in this crazy pandemic. So what are some crazy, fun fall things that you can do and still be safe in the midst of a pandemic?
Well, you can scream into your pillow, as I do every Thursday night at 4 p.m. 4 p.m. I don't know why that's not
4
night.
4 p.m.
It's not night. I don't know. I guess where we were just talking about like going into the fall, because the part of the, I mean, we're operating here in this studio under the understanding that we all take this pretty seriously. And so with that in mind, we try to be as safe as we can when we do try to be social or do activities. And I think that, getting colder, I know the summer has been nice because we've all been able to be outside or eat outside and be able to be just a hair more social because we can be outside where they have good ventilation. Clearly it's outside unless you're in California right now and you don't have very good ventilation, but anyway,
great ventilation, just no air.
There's just no air. So I think that we were just trying to brainstorm some activities as the weather gets colder that you can do and probably still maintain some sense of safety. One of them that we were talking about was going to an orchard and being outside. I mean, just, I guess, invest in warm clothing so that you can do that. But you guys, please add to this.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And moving on.
Well, that does it for that topic.
Go to an orchard. That's it.
Well, and I think that there's
a cornfield.
You can still, if you dress appropriately, right, you can go to a park, a state park or something like that to do some hiking.
You can do state parks. So I did even the first day of this year. And January 1st, I went to a state park.
Year round. So that's something you can do. There's a thing at the Indianapolis Museum of Art.
The Newfields, I think.
Newfields. What's it called?
I think it's the Fall Festival or Fall Festival. Harvest. Yeah, I'll Harvest. But it's, if you've ever been, they do a winter lights thing there every year where you can go and during get hot cocoa and Christmas walk around holiday. With lights all over the grounds. But I guess they're doing a fall themed thing with a bunch of fall activities.
So you'd schedule your time and it's outdoors, most of it there. I think they are doing kind of a scary decor or whatever.
They're doing harvest days and boo fields.
That's what it is. Instead of
hilarious.
New fields.
Harvest now days, that's creative. Harvest nights. They're going to have
tell me some of the consumables that we're going to have because that's what I'm excited about.
So during the harvest days, you can stroll the garden glowing with thousands of Indiana grown pumpkins as you sip a warm apple cider. It's just going to be spookier. They're going to have some, you know how they have the Christmas lights every year. It'll probably be more spooky.
Jack-o'-lantern.
And hopefully some spooky music. Yeah, if I don't get to do the monster mash, real hard. I want to crump to the monster mash over here.
Oh,
if I don't get to do that this year.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Give Hayden Panettiere. I will.
So those are definitely things you could do, in a small group or as a family, but we have a creative thing that we're going to be doing in a couple
weeks.
She's
really excited about this.
Oh, yeah.
One of my bucket list things.
This is actually, I found it because I found an old journal of yours.
Really?
And you wrote about wanting to do that. You made a bucket list. I think it was when we were little or something.
Yeah.
Of things you wanted to do before you died. And this is one of them.
So we're going to do a hot air balloon ride.
Dun, da, 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 da.
It's going to be a sunrise. So we got to be up at dark 30 and go up to the north side and, but it's just for the four of us. So it's a private hot air balloon. I decided since we couldn't do big vacation that we planned in.
The four of us and a pilot.
Well, yeah. But I'm saying in terms of there's no other guests going to be riding.
No, we're going to steal a hot air balloon and fly away with it.
We'll be blow. No. Yeah.
Some other guy's got a cop balloon trying to chase us down. Yeah,
right. Podcast host arrested. Yeah.
So, I'm really excited about that, but I made the mistake of, so I made the initial scheduling and put the deposit down and such. And then I pulled up on the internet, what's dangerous about a hot air balloon ride?
Why would you do that?
I know. So I was I'm not going to do this, but then
what is it?
don't tell me because I'm already anxious.
It's fine. If we die.
What's
we die.
Dangerous? It falls out of the sky and you die.
Here's one thing though, because one of the girls that I work with in Pittsburgh, we were talking this week and she goes, oh, I did that once. Back when I was, young and single and everything, my best friend was dating this guy who was a hot air balloon pilot. And she was like, hey, what are you doing? Come meet me here. We're going to go. He's going to take us up in the balloon. So she's like, okay, cool. Fun. She goes, I went, it really was one of those lifetime things. This was just, it was amazing.
Yeah.
She goes, they did it over the city of Pittsburgh. It's over the rivers and down. Yeah. And she goes, and you're low enough yet. People, kids are running down the street, yelling and waving at you. And you're waving and talking back and stuff.
What I want to do is I want to do the one that's in Albuquerque every year, right?
Yeah.
Hundreds of them or something.
Actually. So my friend Colleen got married
and the reception was at the Hot Air Balloon Museum, and they had a hot air balloon that you could go into. And it was actually, I think it was right around when they do the
fest. Big
thing. So we would just be going around town, and there were just like random hot air balloons floating around the city. And it was just really cool.
But when we have it scheduled, there should be some color on the leaves. It may not be.
Yeah, that was your ideal, was you wanted to see the color on the leaves. Oh,
so cool. I'm excited. But there's one unique thing, I guess, everybody that I've mentioned it to, they were like, you know, you kind of crash land when you come down with that. I'm like, well, what's that?
Oh, it's fine. Just keep your knees unlocked.
Like, wait, I don't one, know two, three, jump.
Yeah. Well, I have an idea. I mean, here's an idea.
All right.
Is you can either paint, or why are you giving me
the- I was going to say one more thing about the hot air balloon before you move on. It's okay.
Go
you
on.
Can't, you know, you don't have to, like, we're doing one just for us as a family, but you can go on like the hot air balloon companies. There's a lot of them you can go on, and you can say, is there an open seat tomorrow? And you could hop on a ride.
But like, keep in mind COVID, like if you're going to be in really close quarters.
Right. But I just mentioned that you don't have to do just your family thing. You can, there are other options.
Go alone.
You can ride with random people.
If you're a loser and don't have friends.
I'm going to make friends in a hot air balloon.
I'm just kidding.
Okay, Andrea.
Okay, Andrea, go ahead.
Mom so rudely interrupted you. So the idea is, so if you have a yard or somewhere outside, you can paint or create jack-o'-lanterns with pumpkins. So that, you know, obviously if it gets colder,
you could do that even if you had an apartment.
Yeah. You could just have a fun night, enjoy some apple cider, and
you make a pumpkin and put it in front of some random person's door.
Sure. Yeah.
You know what? Actually,
facing in.
Staring at them when they open
it. So they open the door.
Put like a little light in it.
Actually, this is a perfect year to like prank people's houses.
Oh my gosh.
Now. Like get your toilet paper now. And actually you could toilet paper someone's house, but instead of throwing the toilet paper on, you just leave the rolls there because maybe they'll need it. You know?
Okay, that is good. please leave it at my door.
Yeah. No, I had seen, because I think on our neighborhood page, they're all trying to figure out what to do about like Halloween trick-or-treating and stuff. And I'd seen somebody who like created that candy chute. Have you seen that
yet? Oh, yeah. It's a tube. It's about like 6 foot long tube.
And that way they can just drop candy down the tube to the kids. I would do that. I would even like put little tape or something for where people can kind of stand separate from each other.
Yeah.
Not that children listen to those sort of things.
You get glow-in-the-dark chalk.
Right. But here's the nice thing, or duct tape. The nice thing about doing the shoot is that, you know, like when you're giving candy out to children, not that I do this really frequently, but when you're doing that for Halloween, kids come up and they just grab as much as they can. Mm-hmm. But if you do it in the shoot, then you can specify how much they get and which ones they get, so they can save all the good ones for yourself at the end, which is what Halloween's all about.
Well, and also being mindful of allergies and that kind of thing.
Yeah. And just give everybody
that way people don't just search kids for it. If they have an allergy, be like, okay,
get a megaphone. What's your allergy?
Are you allergic to peanuts? Yes. Here's a Snickers.
He's like, here's an apple.
Have a payday.
Yeah. Have a popcorn.
That was wrong. That was wrong on my part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, Dad, that was mean.
Yeah. But hey, it's trick or
formal
treat.
Apology requested.
Yes.
Formal apology requested?
Yes.
I think it would be fun to have like...
No.
It's not denied.
Like, we've gotten some large boxes here from some shipments, and you could take them, and one could be trick, one could be treat, and they have to choose which one which box is trick and which one is treat. And you could have bee inside the box, and if they pick the trick one, you jump up and scare them.
Or here's what you do. You have to put your hand inside the box, and like somebody could be on the other side and put like one of those little Chinese handcuff thing, which is probably a really not appropriate way of calling it. I'm sure there's a different way of saying that now. But you know what I'm talking about, where you put your finger in and then your fingers are stuck.
Yeah.
Somebody did that. And that's your trick, is that you got a little thing to trick people with.
And you can't get your hand out and you're stuck.
Yeah.
I wanted to do one because I did a monster not too long, a couple years ago.
You did a monster a couple years ago?
A monster match.
I made out of a box, I made this big like Frankenstein head, and there was a mouth that was open, and the kids had to reach in to get their candy. And I was like, I could do two, and one could be pick trick or treat. They put in one, and maybe it's a bowl that's full of like cold wet spaghetti. Oh. You know, and they're like, oh! And the other one is candy, so that's their choice.
I guess it should I'm be kind like of a wondering gun. If there's going to be trunk or treats at all. this year. I mean, they're all outside, but I don't know. I think that's what I'm most stressed about going into the colder months, is just like what to do about things. Like, we don't have any sort of governing guidance over this right now. So it's really going to be upon all of us to kind of decide what we're comfortable with and the risks we're willing to take to be social with each other. And I'm stressed because I feel like things are going to go on as usual, and either A, I'm going to choose to opt out for, you know, safety's sake and feel super left out, or B, I'm not going to be able to handle being isolated because I live alone and I'll be taking risks. And I just, both of those options really just don't sound appealing to me. Yeah. So.
Well, and you know, it's interesting. We've become, we'll shift this discussion just a little bit, maybe talk about things that have changed in our way of life because of this short-term emergency, the pandemic, that we think is going to be a long-term change in how we live our lives going forward. So we'll shift into that. But I think one of the things that we as a people, especially in the United States, have very much gotten to is we go outside when it's warm, mm-hmm. and we stay inside when it's cold. Mm-hmm. And it starts getting chilly, all of a sudden the windows close and we stay in the house. Mm-hmm. And instead of realizing, hey, you know, I still can go outside.
It's just, cold.
I may have to put a sweatshirt on and adapt to the cooler weather, but I can still go outside and do things outside. And there's still, you know, segments of our society that do a lot of outdoor things in the wintertime. And particularly if you're in the northern parts of the country where they do a lot of outdoor sports in the wintertime, whether it's snowmobiling or hockey or
so, like their tolerance is different, I think.
Well, they have a longer cold period, so they've learned to make it fun.
Well, and I think like having the right clothing does play a part in it. But my part, the point that stresses me out, I guess, a little bit is like, I know I would be willing to do something like that, to be outside, to be able to see people that I care about. But I guarantee you like at least 50% of my friends would just not, it wouldn't be worth it. And they don't think the risk is that big of a deal. So yeah. So I don't know. That's where it's how do you can't control other people. So like, what do you do about situations that come up?
Yeah.
Well, so let's talk about the long-term changes from this short-term pandemic. How do you think your life is going to be different coming out of the other end of the pandemic and how you do things based on changes that you've made to adapt to the pandemic?
Well, I think that we'll probably see a pretty decent increase in people working remotely long-term.
Yep. I would agree.
I think people realize that we can do it. And so you, at least for a lot of different jobs that have traditionally been like in person.
Yeah. And somebody had told me one time, and this was at the very beginning of the pandemic, somebody I used to work with, and she had been in a seminar, and she was like, they were predicting that 46% of jobs that used to be in person but moved to virtual during the pandemic will stay virtual. That's a huge percentage of change.
I know. I don't even know what they're going to do with my office because, I mean, we've been able to be remote, but also I think that they'll want us in some. So
there'll be a certain need for it for sure. But as companies look at that, the caveat is if the job can be done virtually, because some jobs can't, you know, mm-hmm. you're not going to get a haircut done virtually, you know, yeah. But for the jobs that can be done virtually, I think the companies are going to look at that and think, well, after the people cost, real estate costs is the second highest line usually in their budget. So if they can drop some space because people work virtually, I think that's very much
more about the dollar bills.
It is.
This is not a good time necessarily to be working in commercial real estate because there's going to be a lot of open facilities and not as many people looking to
use. We'll see.
Yeah, I'd have to see some of the real estate people that I've worked with in the past. I know most of them have been residential, which their business is booming.
They're
booming.
Right now. Residential booming.
I know some commercial. I haven't seen much of what they've been saying, so yeah. I don't know. But I will say that this is really helpful, the virtual aspect for people with disabilities, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. because
it opens the door.
Who have tried to work virtually forever and have been told no, now they're able to say, well,
there's literally no reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think is a really cool thing.
Mm-hmm. We used to have, there was a process with my particular group where I work, where people would go through to get approval to work remote. Maybe it was 1 day a week, 2 days a week and everything. And I'm on a team that's coordinating some of our transformation as we go forward. And that is something that has been on the list for a while. And we had a call last week and I was like, you know, this might just drop off the list altogether because it may not be a question anymore of this specific approval process you have to go through because of how the pandemic has changed how we work.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you that for my job, when I'm not writing books or podcasting, I work in industrial sales, as the three of you know. It is exponentially harder to do my job in sales when I can't go see my customers.
I think that's pretty simple because I think one of our cousins who works in sales, she is saying like, I mean, it just really, especially those jobs that are very relationship based. Mm-hmm. They are definitely more challenging. So I can't see those staying virtual, maybe aspects.
I called around last week and talked to a few of my counterparts just to see if they had ideas of things that I could try that I hadn't tried. And everybody I talked to basically echoed everything I was saying and feeling. And they were like, I have nothing I could tell you. Yeah, well, we're all struggling.
And I did, there were a few years ago, I was in a leadership training program and I had to come up with a project. And the project I worked on at that point in time was, if my staff were to be virtual, what changes things and how do you maintain or build relationship in a virtual environment? And it might've been that my staff was in the office, but the people they were supporting was out all the time, whether they were traveling or they were at client sites or working from home themselves. And there are different features. I mean, you think about communication alone, 67% of communication is nonverbal. You take that away. So Zoom helps. But how you have to over communicate, there's ways you have to over communicate.
Right. It requires a different skill set. I think I saw something recently that was like the hardest, I think somebody tweeted this or retweeted it. And it was like the hardest part about Zoom meetings is that you can't look over at that one other person in the room and like make face like, oh my gosh, seriously.
When you used to.
Because everybody can see your face. Yeah.
Okay. But here's a random question about Zoom. Have you guys started waving goodbye to people when the Zoom calls go
down? Oh, everybody does. Oh, yeah.
I find that funny.
I want to do like one of the, what is it? Yeah, I don't know. It's fine. It is what it is.
All right. Let's stay on the topic. What are some other changes? Like I'll give you one example of probably a change for our household. The outer lobby of the Cutter's Notch studio right now is.
You can be real. It's the house.
This is the Cutter's Notch studio right now. Anyway, the outer lobby over there is stacked full of empty boxes.
The entryway.
That have come in from basically online ordering, most of them probably from the Amazon. And so we're, you know, basically a lot of stuff we're buying is coming from online purchases.
I'm so ready for brick and mortar. I want them to come back. I want to try things on and I'm sick of my packages getting delivered to other people or not at all.
Well, your mom actually got somebody's package.
Yeah, I got somebody's package. They sent it to me. It's addressed to me, and it's like these glow-in-the-dark star stickers like you used to have on your ceiling when you were a little kid.
Some kid's probably like so sad.
And then
sad.
A couple of adapter things, and I'm like, I did not order this.
I'll have to figure out who they are.
Yeah, maybe I need to contact Amazon and say, you sent me something I didn't need. Somebody's looking for this.
I didn't order them.
It's happened to me several times over this, The package delivery stuff is just really stressful. So I'm actually really hoping that we get a resurgence of brick and mortar after this is over. I don't see that happening, but I want that to happen because I just really like the experience of shopping.
So you don't think that you'll just continue to expand the online purchasing in your life?
No, I don't want to expand the online purchasing if I can avoid it because it's annoying and I don't like waiting for things. I like to go out, get the thing, get home, be done with it. Mm-hmm. I don't like waiting for it.
Okay. And it's easier, especially when you're not quite sure what your size is. So you say, so people who are dealing with the pandemic, your weight is going to shift because that's just the nature of it for mental, physical, whatever reason. And if you're finally, we're out of this, we're in the clear and people go to stores, it's easier for them to try on different sizes so they can figure out, okay, this is where I'm at.
Right.
Instead of just like ordering something online and then you have to go through the process of returning it.
And it's actually kind of inconvenient because you go to a different store, like whether they ship through like UPS or FedEx. Anytime you go to a different store, they have different policies on what they need. Like some of them will let you use their tape. Others want you to pay for tape. Some of them will print your, you know, thing for you. your label for you. And the other ones are like, no, you have to pay us 50 cents to like, and it's just like, I just
consistency,
right? Please. Like, I just want to be able to have it be simple and be done with it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know. Other people really like online ordering. It just has never been cool for me.
It's not your thing.
I think for some things it's okay.
Yeah. Cause you can't get certain things, but I mean, in general, what I like to do is go places.
Okay. We've been gone for almost 45 minutes, believe it or not. This has been a fun and interesting. I'm going to end up with a couple of kind of updates on my book process. And, but does someone have a random question that we want to banter about before we close out? And I think Nancy might have a mom joke of the week.
I actually have one now.
Okay.
I came up with a question within the split second that you said it.
That's all so right. Impressive.
I'm impressive. What was your favorite or your best Halloween costume up until now?
Zoya the Destroyer from Glow.
Oh, yeah. Actually, you had a picture of that one. That's actually a pretty good one.
That was a good one.
Yeah. Zoya the Destroyer.
Yeah. I was pretty proud of that one. Good. Yeah.
I don't even remember what my Halloween costumes were. So
you're still wearing it. So look in the mirror.
Folks, I've been living through this now for 3 decades.
3 decades plus.
I need your sympathy. I need your sympathy. Okay. Somebody else.
I was Anastasia last year and I liked that one. I feel like it turned out pretty well.
Yeah. That was a cute one.
Thank you. Nancy.
I did a lot of different costumes, but I think I had fun last year. We participated in a trunk or treat. And I turned the back of my SUV into a pirate ship and we all dressed up like pirates. And
that was good.
We'd sing yo-ho, yo-ho to the kids as they walked. They looked at
you
us like,
you guys are so extra, because I know like every other family was kind of like, oh, here you go, little Johnny, you know, and we're y'all like, are like, you better fight us for our booty, you know, like, they're like, not worth it. No.
Well, a few of the kids were like, I'm not sure if I want to go up there, but a lot of them
were into it. Yeah. They're like, I want to sing a pirate song.
Stab me.
We got second prize in the contest.
It was fun.
Right? Who got first? Who could possibly have been better than you?
The Hayes. They did the Sandlot.
Yeah, they did Sandlot.
And they were all dressed up characters and had the baseball diamond.
Did they have a dog, too?
Yes, they did. Right. They did. Yeah. So it was cute.
Should have brought Leo.
The pirate dog.
He could have been a siren and put a little bra on him.
The cutter's nice guard dog.
The back.
Okay, so.
What about you, Dad?
I told you I can't remember any of my costumes, so I can't answer the question. I seriously can't. Other than the pirate thing, you remind me of the pirate.
Not when you were a kid or anything?
No, that's especially can't. Because, well, you know, I didn't do any creative costumes when I was a kid. I always wanted to do one of those out of the package. We talked about this last year.
Yeah.
But I always got one of those ones out of a package. So it had like this plastic nylon.
We had grown up, Mom always called it the rag bag. And we always had to go to the rag. It would be like,
wow, you sound like real, like a boomer for sure.
Right? Right?
We just played with a rag bag.
But like if Dad would get a hole in a shirt, she would throw it in there or what have you. And so we would go.
It really was
this big. It was like a large bag. And we would pull things out. And I remember one time I made myself, I was a clown and I used my hula hoop. Cause you know how clowns, some of them have like that big waist kind of thing. Yeah. And I used a sheet and I made suspenders and stuff. So I was like a clown when wrapped around my
wing. Can we talk about how you made Andrea's costume for Queen Amidala once?
She loved it.
Okay. I did love that.
And you were a dead hippie.
Yeah.
Once.
Well, that was pretty cool.
I did love the Queen Amidala costume. I was really proud of it. And even the people we knew who had the costume, like I felt like mine was better.
Well, that's what was so funny is it was like people when Phantom Menace came out, Queen Amidala was like all the rage.
Oh yeah.
And there were those package costumes that were like fancy and you had the whole headdress and everything. Uh-huh. And Andrea's was made out of like felt with like puff paint. And she had like a cardboard, like a shiny cardboard thing as a headband.
Yeah. I was so proud of that costume. I really was. I loved it.
I can tell.
I liked when you guys were crayons. When you were really little, I made you guys crayons. Those were good ones.
Maybe I'll find a picture of Andrea and her Amidala costume and use it for the picture for this podcast episode.
I mean, we have it somewhere.
Yeah, I've got one in a frame. Yeah, the two of them are together as the hippie and as the...
Yeah.
So if you're listening to this podcast, look it up and see what the picture is. It's attached to the podcast.
Yeah, if you can find it, maybe you can't.
Well, I know right where it's at.
Yeah, Mama knows where it is.
She's prepared.
Okay. All right, so I don't have anything else on the costume stuff. So let's begin to wind this down. I do want to let everyone know that I am incredibly close to being ready to submit my sequel called Nozomi's Battle for publication. I finished the final edit read through. I'm going to do one more read through just because I have to. I just feel like I need to read through one more time just to make sure there's not some little thing I missed.
You're going to miss something.
Yeah, always. and then I'm contemplating doing a special run of hardcovers, a limited edition hardcovers where I could sell, I'd probably sell them for about $50 and they'd be autographed and it's limited edition. And then I'll submit it to my publisher and the publisher will put it up and it should be available for sale sometime in probably mid to late October. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, depending on how long it takes to do the hardcover. If the hardcover takes a long time, I might just scrap that idea, but I'm contemplating it. But that's really, really close. And with that, see.
We have one thing to say.
What's that?
Thank you to Bill.
Thank you for Bill.
Thank goodness for Bill.
Yeah, and if this is a great podcast.
It's because of us.
But if it really stinks.
It's because Bill did a bad job editing it. Yeah, Bill. Boo. So leave us a review and tell us if you liked what we did or if you hated what Bill did.
Absolutely.
We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're all over.
You can find us everywhere.
And we're everywhere.
They're even listening to us in India. I would like to say hello to our Indian listeners in the subcontinent of India. They've been listening to us regularly. So hello over in India. So Bill, please.
Well, we don't have anybody in Indiana listening to
us. Yeah, nobody in Indiana, but everybody in India. So thanks very much. Thanks for joining the Cutter's Notch podcast. And we will see you again. Well, we won't see you, but we'll talk to you again really, really soon. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
The Cutter's Notch podcast can be found through any podcast listing provider. New episodes will drop approximately twice per month. Connect with Michael at the following email address, authormichaeldecamp@gmail.com. Again, that's authormichaeldecamp@gmail.com. Abandon Hope. A Cutter's Notch novel can be purchased as an ebook, paperback, or hardcover through any bookstore, both online and local. Get your copy and start your own Cutter's Notch adventure today.